Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Secrets are the currency of the universe. John Keel. Welcome to Grimly.
Thinking of sisters are doing it for themselves.
Wait, that's a song. Oh, is that Cher?
I don't know.
What the fuck is that?
I think it's the same women who did It's Raining Men.
Okay.
Standing on their own two feet.
Huh. I don't know that song.
I've never heard. I'm gonna play that for you later. Okay. I feel like you will know it because it's always like a female anthem in like 90s movies.
Okay.
Type of situation.
Hmm.
I feel like I've heard that song so many times in like different movies. It's like a classic.
Okay.
I could be wrong though. You maybe don't know it.
I don't. It's not ringing a bell currently.
No.
That sounded like Cher though when you sang it.
Thanks.
Cher is a diva.
Yeah. Did you? I didn't watch the SNL 50th anniversary. I did see a clip of Cher singing though.
I did not see that.
And she was wearing a very scantily clad.
She still dates a young man, I think.
Yeah, she was wearing like a.
Her and Madonna.
And she was fucking. Looked great.
Serving. Yeah.
Serving it.
The woman is like damn near 80, right?
Yeah.
No, she can't be 80. She's
she might be 80.
She's in her 70s, I think.
I'm gonna look it up. I think Madonna might be in her 70s. Cher's been around.
Dude, Cher might be close to 80, 70 something.
She's 78.
Damn!
Good for fucking you, Cher.
Good. I know she's a cool
for
one.
For you.
Madonna. You know.
Yeah.
Problematic.
We all want to be Cher. It's like Cher, Chelsea Handler.
Do you know Chelsea Handler left? This is, oh God, I wish I hadn't opened my mouth and now I can't take it back. It's just like TMI for the shit that I know. Like, it just is going to reveal what a loser I am. She left an Oscar party with on the arm of Ralph Fiennes.
Oh.
Which is, I don't know, to me, a very age-appropriate sexy couple.
Yeah, I agree. I could see that.
Mm-hmm.
Listen.
And I hear he fucks.
And I hear he fucks.
That's really funny.
Yeah, and you know Chelsea Handler does not entertain men that do not.
No,
so.
No, and that's what I'm saying.
She probably like, heard too. We all need to be like her, like just fucking having 8 dogs and still looking great.
Which
like,
one is that? Who has 8 dogs?
She's a lot of dogs.
Chelsea?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. She's a bunch of dogs. I don't know if you've ever seen any of her skiing videos where she's like skiing down a mountain
topless.
Topless with it, or sometimes with her dogs on her back.
No, like I haven't seen the dog ones. I've only seen the titty ones.
Yeah, she usually has a margarita in one hand, a joint in the other, and just fucking living her best life. Yeah.
Mm.
We all, yeah, Cher and Chelsea Handler.
Okay.
I feel like are places to strive for. Let's okay. be real. The level of non fucks those two women
that's
give.
True.
Is,
that's true.
Is pretty that's admirable.
True. That is true.
I would say.
Yeah, and Martha Stewart. Throw a little Martha Stewart in there at this point.
Yeah. I mean, she says some problematic things in the last couple of years.
I would say nobody hasn't. I've said problematic things on this podcast.
Don't look at me like that.
What are we talking about today? Oh, welcome to Grimly.
Hi.
And what are we talking about today?
This is Grimly. I am Missy.
Yeah,
wow. Jesus fuck. You want me to leave?
No, I'm just like, this is my least favorite part is having to fucking introduce myself.
Oh, my least favorite part is editing.
Valid complaint.
If I had Chelsea Handler money, I'd pay for an editor.
Me over here like, God, I hate having to stand in line. You're like, I hate starving. Thanks.
I hate when I drink like Evian instead of Perrier.
Oh man. Well,
and on that note, what are we talking
about? For the third fucking time, get your shit together. Okay. We're putting on our kooky hats today.
Okay.
Our kooky conspiracy hats. I'm just putting it out there right now.
Okay. It's pretty easy for me to put it on. I know. I have to take it off.
Your realm of possibilities needs to be expanded in this moment because we're getting there. Okay. Throughout history, there have been events that defy logic. Unexplained phenomenon, bizarre encounters, and mysteries that refuse to be solved. One of those we talk about on this podcast. So some of these mysteries have led people down paths of suspicion, where questions begin to outnumber the answers. What if those in power were trying to hide something from us? What if certain truths were being actively suppressed? From UFO sightings to government cover-ups, the conspiracy theories grow wilder and wilder, each more intriguing than the last. But what if there's a secret group, a hidden force, orchestrating the silence? Today, we dive into one of the most chilling conspiracy theories of all, where mysterious figures have been linked to UFO sightings, strange encounters, and even the erasure of evidence.
Men in Black.
But who are they? And what role do they really play in the world of secrecy and cover-ups? Let's uncover the truth behind the legend of the Men in Black.
This will be cool.
Men in Black. Here come the Men in Black. Men in Black.
Galaxy Defenders.
You were off. No, you weren't. I was off. Did you? Okay. This movie, I fucking loved as a child.
I rewatched it not that long ago.
Me too. It's on Peacock.
It's so good.
It's also less than 2 hours. We love a.
I do love that.
We love a less than 2 hour movie on this pod. It's an iconic movie.
It's fantastic.
The rest of them,
yeah. Yeah.
The first one,
so good.
Top notch.
Yeah, it is.
It's the tits.
And that's not at all
what
the Men in Black are.
No,
and
no.
Which is sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I need to refill this.
The Men in Black are...
wine really quick.
Just a lot more weird than that movie that's on. But it is. But it's cool.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Will Smith wouldn't have been one of the real life Men in Black.
No. Or Tessa Thompson, MIB International.
That's true.
Yeah. We're definitely going to be saying Men in Black.
And Tommy Lee Jones, for that matter.
No, none of them.
More like Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah. I'm definitely going to be saying men because we're not having to include other genders in this.
Christ.
Or we're not being PC. I guess that's
do
stupid.
They have
Never
to
mind.
Be?
No.
No.
No. I'm just saying I'm not trying to be exclusive. But
all it's right, you've said it.
All men, unfortunately.
Yeah.
They're ruining the show. The Men in Black. But yeah, that's let's fucking get
yeah,
into it.
Yeah, there's not women in black.
No.
In this there's just they don't
no,
exist.
Those are,
there's
those are
no
the
stories about those.
Those are the ghosts.
Yes.
Yeah.
The haunted ladies that haunt you.
Yeah, they just haunt you. Mm-hmm. They don't wipe your memory and threaten you like the Men in Black do.
I don't know how I feel about them or what I believe about it. But I'm eager to hear.
Like I said, put on your kooky cap because this shit gets crazy.
Yeah. I've seen a video too. Did you watch the video?
Mm-hmm, it's on here. I included it in the file.
Okay.
All right, let's get into it. Okay, so. You just pay attention.
Okay.
There's a lot of names. There's you got your red string, for lack of a better word,
in a lot
of ways.
Okay. All right.
Okay. So we're going to start this rabbit hole in 1947 with Kenneth Arnold's UFO sighting story.
Okay.
So private pilot Kenneth Arnold claims that while flying past Mount Rainier in his plane, he says he sees 9 shiny, unidentified flying objects flying past him at speeds of up to 1,200 miles per hour on June 24th, 1947. Fun fact, he was flying past Mount Rainier because there was a massive reward put out there because there was recently a plane crash on Mount Rainier and they were trying to find the plane.
Okay.
That will be another story for another time that we'll do on this pod. Just
okay.
Little put that on a shelf somewhere. So Arnold goes public with his story and is eventually asked to interview another UFO witness because he kind of becomes weirdly famous with his UFO story.
Okay.
And the man he's supposed to interview is a man named Harold Dahl. So Dahl claims that he had seen a UFO named Maury Island in Washington State, which is down by Tacoma, Washington.
Okay.
On June 21st, 1947. So these encounters are 3 days apart. And his encounter is referred to as the Maury Island incident, which could be another episode all itself.
Okay.
So I'm not going to try to like go deeply into all these things because it's just there's too much. Too much.
Yeah, aliens are involved whenever Men in Black are around.
Exactly. It's one of those
directly related. Mm-hmm. So they're friends.
Yeah. They're something.
They're co-conspirators.
Yeah, totally. Co-conspirators is a better word. So something interesting to know about the Maury Island incident is that Harold Dahl and another man who witnessed the UFO on June 21st claim to have some physical evidence of a spacecraft. So just a quick synopsis. You know what? It's the P in there. Thank you. Whatever. I don't fucking care.
I made her have a ton of tequila.
You did. I did it. So, Maury Island incident. There is evidently, there were six aircrafts that these two men saw. Harold Dahl and another man who's unidentified.
So, 9 the first time and then 6 3 days later.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And evidently, one of the spacecrafts on the Maury Island incident fell apart in the air and it like... almost, they described it as almost like newspapers, like, in the sky.
Wow, okay.
And they got some of the fragments of the spacecraft. Also, evidently, the spacecraft falling apart killed Harold Dahl's dog.
What?
Yeah. Okay. They were on a boat when all this happened. Evidently, pieces of the spacecraft killed his dog, but he also kept...
But it was newspaper?
No, he said he described it as newspaper in the sky. The okay, pieces.
So things sort of...
Like, it's like a Kentucky meat shower moment.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, okay.
So just to give you a little bit of background. So he claims to have pieces from the Maury Island incident. So Kenneth Arnold is asked by the editor of a science fiction magazine named Amazing Stories, whose name is Raymond A. Palmer, to go down and interview Dahl and see the physical evidence. So the science fiction magazine editor is like, hey, you're a UFO guy now. Do you want to go interview this other UFO guy? And Kenneth Arnold's like, sure, why not? Kenneth Arnold interviews Harold Dahl, and he contacts some men from the Air Force Base who are named Lieutenant Frank Brown and Captain William L. Davidson. So Brown and Davidson conduct their own interviews with Harold Dahl and collect the metal fragments. They get on a B-52 to fly back down to McCord Field in California. However, something happens with the plane and it crashes in Kelso, Washington, killing both men. And now the physical evidence they had is gone.
Okay.
This is the stem of the conspiracy theory in itself.
Okay.
Do you see where like people can figure out?
Yeah, I thought, okay, so tell me that Kelso is in an area where you would fly from wherever they were in South Tacoma. Is it between
Kelso South?
It's between Portland and okay, got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's off of the Columbia, okay. I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Besides the interviews about the actual incident itself, Dahl also tells Arnold about a strange visitor that he had come to his home the day after the Maury Island incident. A man dressed in all black. Dahl describes the man having a strange and unsettling presence. He introduces himself without revealing his name. He describes the man as in his mid-40s, dressed in a dark suit, having an odd, almost artificial demeanor.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dahl noted that the man had a pale complexion, almost white-skinned, and his facial expressions were stiff and unnatural.
Okay, so this is what I said. Tommy Lee Jones is most likely to be Men in Black because, yes, they are always, yes, yeah. Described exactly like that.
Exactly
repeatedly.
Like that. Yeah, we'll get more into that, too. So the man seemed to already know intimate details about Dahl's encounter with the UFO. He even knew like what the man had for breakfast that morning before the encounter happened. As if he had prior knowledge to what had happened.
Almost like they're psychic.
And this really freaks Harold Dahl out because up to this point, he had told anyone about his encounter the day before. So this is like the day after this all happens, this guy shows up. Even before Kenneth Arnold shows up or the like Air Force guys show up to interview him and get the evidence, this man shows up.
Couldn't be me. Because everyone I know would have heard about it that day.
I would have not shut the fuck up.
I know we have text messages, but I'm just like, you didn't call a bunch of people and tell them?
I mean, there was also another witness to this whole incident, the Maury Island incident. So, like, it's, I don't know, it's a stretch to say that no one knew about it the next day. Because, listen, same thing. Couldn't be me. So, the man warned Dahl not to talk about what he had seen, suggesting that it could lead to serious consequences. He made it clear that Dahl's life and his family's life could be in danger if he persisted in speaking about his strange event. Dark stuff.
Did he say it out loud or did he like...
He said he said it out loud.
Okay.
We get the
telepathy.
Not yet. So by the end of the conversation, the man in black made one thing abruptly clear. Stay silent or face the consequences. So obviously Harold Dahl does come forward with his story because we know about it. He talks to Kenneth Arnold. He's like, whatever.
He's a warning. I don't care.
I mean, it's like white man fucking confidence right there. And that's when obviously the other two military guys conduct their interviews and they die in the plane crash. So after all of that, Harold Dahl's story is completely discredited and called a hoax. But this kind of ignites the theory of the Men in Black. This is like the origin story of the Men in Black. This isn't when it becomes quote unquote famous, but this is the first like record account of the Men in Black.
This was from the '40s.
This is 1947.
Okay. Late '40s.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I think I don't think the plane crash is relevant to the story. I think the plane crash adds to the theory. If that makes sense. Because they're like, of course the plane crashed now. Or is the plane crash? There's so many ways that this thing can branch off. That I was like trying so hard to stay focused. Because there's also so many stories about the Men in Black.
Yeah, it's a big subject to try to do in one episode, truly.
Yeah.
But it's a little ad nauseum to do more than one episode.
And that's what I'm saying. It's I'm getting the broad strokes. And... we're not getting into the minute things because we would be here for fucking ever. And we don't have time for that.
It's just some guys in suits with some weird tacky textured skin.
Not textured. That's probably the problem. Okay. They've got no pores.
Whoa.
Drop the skincare routine, sweetie. Next, we're going to get to 1952. We're fast forwarding a little bit. Like I said, broad strokes. So the next significant MIB... encounter. MIB.
I know.
Men in Black. I can't not do it, but it's... okay, shut up. Okay. Is by a man named Albert K. Bender. So Bender had created a club called the International Flying Saucer Bureau in 1952, which was a club to try to figure out the origins of alien spacecrafts and why they are here. You would join that club.
Anything to do with like our use of nuclear weapons right around that time?
Yeah. I mean, like you look back and like there was probably some government testing happening, but we won't talk about that yet. So the club had been very popular and was getting some national recognition as being legitimate, but Bender closed the club down abruptly in 1953. It wasn't until 9 years later when Albert Bender tells his story and experience as to why he shut down the club. So he says in September 1953, Bender claims that three men in black suits showed up to his home. His physical description is very similar to Harold Dahl's description of what they looked like in the way that they were almost cosplaying as humans, but something just seemed off. There's got to be something very creepy there.
Definitely. It stands out.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's, yeah, I mean, just everyone says it the same way.
Yeah.
It's if a mannequin was talking to you or something. It's just not right.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the uncanny valley.
Exactly.
Thing. You're like, ugh.
Something's weird here.
Something's weird. It's like almost if a real life AI thing was talking to you.
Yes.
Because you like you can watch something that's AI. You're like, oh, this is AI.
Well, some of us are better at deciphering it than others.
Yeah, but
it
like
takes me a second. I'm like,
no, but like eventually you're like, oh, there's something.
Yes.
Yeah, your brain figures it out.
Yes.
Before you do, I think.
Yes.
Even though you are part of your brain.
It definitely, there's like a, yeah, I mean, there's like a biological like red flag that's like,
no.
Just clock it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like keep watching because this isn't cool.
Mm-hmm. Keep your wits about you.
Yeah. He says that these men communicate with him telepathically.
Okay.
And shared the insights of UFOs with him and where they originated from.
Oh.
So they're like, here's your information.
Oh.
The men black leave abruptly again, and Albert Bender is violently ill for the next 3 days.
Whoa.
Like, he couldn't eat for the next 3 days. I mean,
you're given the knowledge of the cosmos, and maybe it's a little too much to take on. It's like a real acid trip.
Totally. It's like the worst acid trip ever.
Yeah.
So Albert Bender goes on to say that he's told not to share what he learned with the other UFO enthusiasts.
That's fucked up.
It is really fucked up. You're like, here's what everything you've wanted to know,
and but your whole
you were never allowed to talk about it.
Rude. Like,
fuck. Just don't tell me.
Yeah, I'm telling everyone. Stop me.
Bitch, come back. So people often described him as being paranoid after this encounter with the three men in black, and he would also get frequent painful headaches. So they were like,
that's not the first time we've heard that.
No, we talked about that recently.
We did. Benny and Bonnie.
Yep. So Bender is credited with being the first person.
Barney. Did I say Barney?
You just said somebody.
It's not Bonnie.
No.
It's Barney.
No, unfortunately, they were not lesbians. Yeah. So Albert Bender is credited with being the first person to talk about the men in black being there to suppress information about aliens and UFOs. And he's like kind of the person who like tells a story about these guys and it reaches the general public. Because Harold Dahl was just talking to people like more big into UFO enthusiasts. And then this is where the name Men in Black is officially coined.
Okay.
So Albert Bender tells a story to a man named Gary Barker, who writes a book called They Knew Too Much About Flying Saucers, where the idea of the Men in Black becomes more widespread, which leads to the bigger conspiracy of the Men in Black in general. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Like I said, there's a lot of names. There's a lot of, like, red fucking rope to connect. Okay.
Oh, really, all we care about is what it's like in, with them, from like, a listener point of view.
What do you mean?
All we need to know is what it's like being in front of them.
Oh, I see.
Like, those little details.
I want to know the connection.
Well,
I want to know where it originated from. You do
have an engineer's brain. We discovered this recently.
I guess so. I don't know. That seems like too much of a stretch, honestly. I'm not smart enough, but thank you. Okay, so we're going to fast forward again to 1966. So a UFOlogist named John Keel heads...
Oofologist?
Oof.
They're really sticklers about it.
Carry on. Is that really what they call themselves?
Yes.
Not a UFOologist?
No.
Oofologist sounds stupid. Also, that is O-O-F-O. Oof.
It's the U.
It's... I'm mad.
I'm telling you.
Oofologist is O-O-F. Stupid. Like, yeah. Oof, that's hurt, is O-O-F. Listen. Listen, I'm annoyed. Anyways, I'm still saying a UFOologist.
Yeah.
So a UFOologist named John Keel heads to Point Pleasant, West Virginia.
Yeah, John Keel is like a bigger name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
because I didn't know this connection. I was like, okay. I was like, whoa. Anyways, okay. So he heads to Point Pleasant, West Virginia, because there have been some strange sightings in the area, and some say, with a sighting of this creature, something bad usually happens right after. So during the time in the area, Kiel conducts interviews with hundreds of witnesses, not only about the creature, but also about a rash of UFO sightings, strange lights in the sky.
Is it a big booty creature?
Booty, 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 booty walker. Poltergeist activity and other explained it, unexplained events. Kiel also...
We love...
Yeah, we really do. So Kiel also visits an abandoned TNT site where two young couples said that they had a strange encounter with a creature.
With a big booty
creature. A big booty creature. With Megan Thee Stallion. Just whop. There's some hoes in this house playing in the background. He says at this site he feels a sense of dread and unease along with being watched. Along with all the strange phenomena in the area, John Kiel is finding that with these strange occurrences, they're also having visits by men in black suits.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So these men were described as wearing dark suits, driving black cars, having unnatural features, sometimes with robotic or alien-like qualities, a.k.a. unhuman.
Mm-hmm.
Witnesses reported that the men in black threatened them, warned them not to talk about their experiences or acted strangely as if they were unfamiliar with human customs, a.k.a. cosplaying as a person.
Mm-hmm.
Kiel himself experiences odd phone calls and interference, and sometimes in the interference, there are voices that seem artificial or mechanical. He believes that some of the men in black encounters might not have been government agents at all, but something otherworldly. So these aren't government entities. This is something else.
But did they like claim to be?
They usually they say they're say government they're agents.
For the government?
Yeah, we're working for the government.
So are you not going to talk about what's that flying creature?
Oh, we'll get there.
Okay, I was like, when are we?
We'll get there. I'm leading up to it.
Hold on, I have to be.
It's called suspense. Bitch.
Okay.
Where were we? I'm sorry.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
So we got to the phone calls, interference. John Keel's like, this is something otherworldly going on. This isn't government entities. This is something else.
Okay.
So after these visits in Point Pleasant, West Virginia, John goes back to New York, where he's from. And he writes a book and publishes it in 1975 called The Mothman Prophecies.
The Mothman!
The booty is back. So
it's sad that like that's the thing I know. That stands out.
You saw that statue. We've seen that ass.
Stacked. It's a brick house of a statue.
You know what? Maybe we all just want to remember for our fat ass.
That's Miss New Moody. Okay.
She's doing it. So besides the Mothman itself, John Kiel writes extensively about the men in black and how they are not human in any other world or but an otherworldly being that can shapeshift and alter reality around them.
Interesting.
So he's like,
that's
these
a little bit of a stretch.
Yeah, okay. These motherfuckers are something else.
Okay.
And this is where we also get a theory about what the men in black are.
Okay.
So John.
So he's the one that really.
Mm-hmm. So John Kiel also theorized that the Mothman and the men in black are something he dubs ultra-terrestrials.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. He says that ultra-terrestrials are entities that can exist alongside humanity in other dimensions or realities and can move between dimensions and realities, and sometimes we encounter them as cryptids or the men in black or other types of entities who are trying to keep things under wraps. This is what I'm saying.
I love that.
We have to put our kooky caps on.
I love it, because listen, I wish I had like... I just wish I had, like, enough, like, science knowledge to be, like, talking about...
Like, physics?
Yeah.
Wormholes and timelines and...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's all theoretical.
I know. Yeah, I guess it is all.
I mean, you could talk about it. You don't have to fucking know. You see the confidence of a white man.
I wish I could speak to it. What do they call it? String theory?
Mm-hmm. It's all interesting. Barfly effect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's... Maybe don't listen to this episode if you're, like, super high. We're going to break some people's brains or something.
Mm.
Or make them better. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. So, we got to Point Pleasant. We saw Mothman. Now we're taking another turn.
Okay, so it's moving past 1966.
Yeah, now we're in 1968.
Okay.
So in 1968, Jack Robinson, who was a UFO researcher at the time, along with his wife, Mary, claimed that they were being harassed by the Men in Black. So along with the threats they had received directly, they also claimed that they had discovered their apartment had been ransacked one night after coming home, but nothing was taken. They also said that the Men in Black would also frequently just stand across the street for hours just watching their apartment.
Oh.
Which is creepy as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
So after seeing this Man in Black, one of the couple's friends, a man named Timothy Green Beckley, decides he's going to try to get a closer look at the guy.
As a friend of theirs?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He's like, I'm going to go fucking across the street and check this guy out.
Why didn't they go?
I don't know. That's a good question. And he is able to capture a picture of the man.
Okay.
And this is the picture. Listen.
Yeah.
You're going to be like, this is stupid, but this is what he said he caught.
That just looks like a regular dude to me. That's too rotund for me to
for
be.
A Man in Black?
Yeah, I would have thought they would have been thinner. It just looks like a regular dude. I don't know. In 68, I wouldn't imagine they'd be wearing top hats. And
I can't tell if it's a top hat
he's wearing,
or it's a fedora.
It could be a fedora. But it also looks like he's wearing like a heeled shoe.
Maybe he's going to the opera.
It could be the pixels here in this shitty image. But he does have a gut on him, and I just wouldn't have thought that. So that's a uniquely human thing. Doesn't he?
Yeah. I would say he maybe just caught a picture of a man standing, but like, mm-hmm. if it's the man just standing across the street and staring at the apartment, it's still fucking creepy.
Yeah.
Even if it's just a man.
Sure.
In general, it's mm-hmm. creepy.
Not convinced by this one.
No, I'm not saying.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not. I don't think, honestly, I'm convinced by any of it.
Okay.
If I'm being
mm-hmm.
truthful.
Okay.
But I think it's fun.
I think.
I like this road trip.
Yeah. I think that there are just like. No, maybe. It's like. Whatever. You know what? Never mind. Let's just carry on, please. Carry on.
Okay.
Carry
so
on.
We're going to drive further down this timeline.
Okay.
So in 1976, this was our next.
I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Jumped away.
I feel like the picture was something I had to include.
Yes.
I don't know how I believe it or if I don't believe it. Whatever.
Sure. It was a notable because there's a photo.
Yes, exactly.
It separates it from all the other stories.
It's been quoted as like the first or photo. Only photo of Men in Black.
Okay.
So take that how you will.
Hmm.
So in September of 1976. A man named Dr. Herbert Hopkins, who lives in Maine and was also a part-time paranormal researcher. He claims on the night of September 11th, 1976, he was at home conducting some research on a UFO encounter when he got a phone call. The man on the line identifies himself as a representative of the New Jersey UFO organization, and he's hoping he could come and join in on the research and the investigation of the case that Dr. Hopkins is currently working on.
Okay.
Also, the man on the phone asks if the doctor is alone.
Hmm.
Hell never. Fuck you.
He was like, I want to come right now?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
He's like, hey.
How
he's
rude.
Like, I heard you're investigating this right now. Do you mind if I pop in and investigate this and research this with you? Also,
stranger.
Were you alone?
I can't. No.
Like, fuck off, buddy.
No.
Also, I probably
at my house in Maine.
Uh-huh.
It's beautiful here.
Right?
No.
Leave my majesticness alone.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
It's like I haven't cleaned up. I don't have a coffee or like tea cakes or whatever the fuck you serve somebody in the 70s for a late night. Like...
Tea.
Yeah, I feel like you give them coffee and something to snack on, and I don't have it. My wife didn't plan for this. This is a no.
And I am incompetent because...
Oh. And I've already got just my wife beater
uh-huh.
and my suspenders on.
Yeah.
Absolutely not, sir.
I mean, the suspenders are about to come off. Let's
uh-huh.
be real.
Uh-huh.
About to be no pants party
uh-huh.
up in this bitch. So, against my reaction... In
he
yours.
Says yes.
Obviously, doctor.
Because men just really have a different reality.
Yeah, the confidence of a white man is something like, to strive for.
Everything is just so fucking easy. They're like, yeah, why not just come over?
Just pop on in unannounced.
My wife will make the
Sure, the I'm sex. Alone. Sure, I'm fucking alone. Are you kidding? Are you kidding
me? The alone part is the best part. If he was single, though, and alone, then he probably was like, you know what? I would like the company.
I could use the company. I don't know if I need company though. Get that fucking cat. Anyways, okay. So Dr. Hopkins tells the man that yes, he's alone, which is so dumb, and that he could come on over and join in on the research. He's like, sure, I'm alone. Come on over. Let's hang out.
Okay.
So Dr. Hopkins then says after he hung up the phone and turned the lights on the front porch, the man was already walking up the stairs to the front door.
Oof. Hey, what? That's, you know what?
You asked for
red,
it.
What's a red flag? You already invited the man in, like
right? Because of the vampire.
It's too late to be concerned now. Oh my god. I don't know if we've ever talked about this, but vampires are truly.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. And I'm terrified.
But, like, yeah, you have to invite a vampire in, right?
Ooh, no one's coming. Nope.
He's like, come on in, motherfucker.
Mm-mm. If I don't know you, you're not coming in.
Yeah. So he hangs up the phone, turns on the lights to the front porch. The man's already walking up the stairs. Ooh. It's less than a minute.
Yeah, because he fucking teleported there.
Yeah. And he's like, probably, I don't know. He telepathed into the phone. I don't know. So. Hopkins describes the man as wearing a neatly tailored black suit, was bald with no eyebrows or eyelashes.
Mm-hmm.
He had smooth, dead white plastic skin like a doll, but had ruby red lips. It's the hardest pass.
It's like a really bad drag queen.
It's not even a bad drag queen. It's fucking Nosferatu.
Yeah. It's no, like, Nosferatu was hideous. Scary.
You don't think plastic, dead white skin, no eyelashes, yeah, no eyebrows.
True. I mean, I guess, I don't know. Like, did you see them recently? The movie?
I did.
That thing.
Nothing was different. I'm talking like 1930s Nosferatu.
Bald.
Bald.
He had like boils and shit.
In the most recent one, yes.
In the old one, too.
No.
He didn't?
No. He was just pasty and bald.
But
and
he had claws?
Like, he had the hands.
Okay.
That was a big part of it.
All right.
Anyways. But imagine Nosferatu.
With lipstick?
With lipstick. Which is gross. So, besides the physical description... He goes on to say that the person's speech was monotone and emotionless, almost like he was talking to a machine and not a person.
Oh, interesting.
So he was saying he was like trying to have a conversation with this guy and like
you can tell when you're on the phone with like
a robot. Yeah.
And like sometimes they're good and they're borderline convincing.
Yes. But it's the lizard brain uncanny valley thing. You're like, something's fucking wrong.
It might take a second. You're like, wait a goddamn minute. This isn't a real person.
I need to talk to a goddamn adult.
Yeah, a human.
Yeah, it's a lot of that. But he was saying
the timing is different.
The cadence.
Yeah, totally.
There's just something, whether we want to admit it or not, human in us innately.
Yeah.
That's a whole other fucking topic. But there's something wrong if it's not.
If it doesn't
have like a soul or something. I don't know.
If you can tell that it's not listening to you and responding on an emotional level.
Yeah, it's like computing what you said.
Yeah, that it's a recording or something.
Yeah, yeah. So he said it was like talking to a machine, which is fucking creepy.
Interesting.
I can't imagine.
A physical being standing in front of you and feeling like a robot.
Like a robot. Then but it's not a robot? I don't know. So Hopkins claims that the man told him to hold a penny and focus on it.
And they're doing experiments now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So while holding the penny, it turns from copper to silver to bluish color.
Is it burning?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
And then it starts to look distorted and fuzzy and blurry in his hand. And then it just disappears.
Holy shit. See, no matter who he was, I'd be like, you got me. What the hell is this?
What the fuck is going on?
I love it. so specific. Why would you make this up?
It's, yeah.
It's so weird and it's random so and fucking specific.
Weird and creepy and yeah. random. You're like, you're
what's
right.
the point of making this up?
You're like, you were just some, just doing some UFO research, mind your own fucking business. I guess maybe for fame. I mean, we're talking about him.
I guess almost so. 50 There's years later. Been thirsty people out there.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right. So it vanishes. The penny yeah. vanishes.
The penny vanishes out of his hand. It's just gone after wow. changing colors and then getting blurry and weird.
It just like begs so many questions of like, how can they like affect matter? Uh-huh. And, oh my God, I love it.
Yeah. So then the man says to destroy his current UFO research and then just fucking leaves.
He was like, here's the proof.
Yeah. He's like, you want me to show
Wait,
you?
It's weird that he didn't watch him destroy it, or if you can affect it that way, why don't you destroy it yourself?
Yeah.
It's like free will.
Uh-huh.
Interesting.
I mean, there's a lot of stories like that. I mean, like, even, like, the original story. It's like,
they never hurt anybody.
No.
They don't.
They just scare the Warn shit you. Out of people.
They're just there to be like,
it's almost
careful.
Like they have some sort of, like, rules or guidelines that maybe. They abide by.
Yeah, maybe.
And they just refuse to get physical.
Disciplined.
Or maybe they can't.
Maybe.
Maybe because they're on a different realm or That's a different true. Plane.
That's true.
They can't, like, actually go there, so they just have to scare the fuck out of you.
I like it.
In a way that, like, you don't want to deal with it.
Agreed.
I don't know. Okay, and so now we're driving a little bit further up the road to October 14th, 2008, which is getting to something you talked about earlier.
Oh my God, it was like 10 minutes ago, though. 2008.
Yeah. Oh, 2008. I thought we talked about 10 minutes ago. I'm like, no, I don't think it's 10 minutes ago. I wasn't saying 30, but okay. Okay. So at a hotel near Niagara Falls, a hotel manager named Shane Sovar and a security guard who's unidentified who are working nights, and they see a triangular spacecraft in the sky. Triangular shaped, I guess. No, it's like a triangle.
That immediately says military to me, but...
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah. Probably. But we'll really get into that. So they then share their story with an investigative group called the Aerial Phenomenon Investigation Team.
Okay.
So the triangle thing... Like, I feel like in 2008, you would probably already know what a, like, a military thing looks like, even if it is triangle-shaped. Because, I mean, X-Files has been out for a long time. Yeah. Independence Day has already been out. Coming back to the Will Smith reference.
I just think that there are things that people have built and that the military has and probably tests and flies, or it flies in conjunction with private companies that despite being a general shape... that you might recognize, if you were to see it in person, it's different enough that you might be like, whoa, what the fuck is that? Because it's just not something you would see. Because we're just used to seeing biplanes.
But like 2008 is damn near 20 years ago. You don't think that would be like a popular aircraft now? Like in some shape or form? Okay, I don't know.
No.
I'm just saying.
But I would say... Like how it just seems sort of like, yeah, I don't know. 20 years ago, how different would it be than what they're doing now?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, now it's like mostly drones.
Because that's a long time ago.
Yeah, especially for advancing technology.
I just don't know. I'm like, would there be people in it?
I don't know.
And now we're just like moving. Yeah, probably. Yeah. Maybe there was someone physically flying these things, and now the movement is to like autonomous, like drones.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Then yes. Then in that case, yes.
They're probably...
Yeah.
Okay.
But we don't see them.
No. So this group, this Aerial Phenomena Investigations team, they're investigating the story that this hotel manager, Shane Savar, and the security guard have. They're like, okay, we'll look into this. This is interesting enough. Let's talk about it. A few weeks later, two men in black walk into the hotel, according to three witnesses that were at the hotel at the time. According to the hotel staff, these men seemed very threatening and scared the shit out of everybody that they encountered because of the uncanniness, is what they said.
Just like the vibe about them.
Yeah, they're like, something's weird here.
Wow.
And they were looking for Shane Savar and the security guard. that like had witnessed the triangular aircraft.
What else? They just saw the thing flying. Mm-hmm. What?
Okay. They just saw it, and then like they went to this
daytime or nighttime.
Nighttime, because they like he was like,
so the lights or something. How do you know?
But I think maybe it's just like a big black thing in the sky. It's a clear night.
Oof.
It's creepy.
Okay. Yeah.
And but so they see this thing. They go to this aerial phenomena investigations team. Investigations team starts investigating the whole thing in general, the story. And then that's when the men in black show up.
Okay.
At the hotel. And they're looking for Shane and the security guard.
Mm.
Thankfully, both men were not there at the time. Because it was during the daytime. It seems like they were maybe like more like nighttime type crew.
Mm-hmm.
So they came during the day. Shane and the security guard weren't there, and they leave. Later on, Shane looks at the hotel security footage and finds that the hotel security camera had actually caught the two men in black on tape.
Oh, okay.
So I think this is what you're talking about earlier.
I've seen a one in front of a woman, which could have been a total fake.
Oh, okay. So I'm going to show you this video. Okay. I have a leak. Okay, so we just watched the video. Or Meg just watched the video. I've already watched it. So, yeah. So, in the video, Shane describes what I just described. Except, like, also, he gives a description of what, like, the hotel staff said they looked like. He said that, like, they were super tall. They looked identical. Like, the yeah, pale like skin. Twins. They looked like twins, almost. Just...
wearing the same outfits.
Wearing the same outfits. All black. The black suits. It's just like overall like a very creepy vibe that they got from these guys.
And you do see it on the video.
You do see it on the video.
Like this. Somebody came in.
Mm-hmm.
In 2008.
Mm-hmm.
Dressed. Two dudes. Came in. So that definitely happened.
Yeah.
If it's a
coincidence.
A hoax. Or
some,
not.
Like maybe just some businessman. Who the hell knows.
I don't know. That's a weird vibe.
It's a very like to vibe. Walk in middle of the day like in matching outfits like that. Mm-hmm. Is a little creepy. I feel like if it was a hoax, they could just time stamped the hotel footage after the incident, and I have yet to see anyone being like, oh, this is debunked because they did this like after the investigation happens.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You know, there's like being like, oh, like this is a hoax because they did it like after this story got famous, quote unquote.
Maybe, yeah.
So I don't know.
Or if it was always going to be a part of it. The two of us, we saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we,
let's pretend to be Ben in black.
Exactly. Or let's hire somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two people, the exact same height.
Mm-hmm.
Wearing a mask.
Yes. Yeah. Maybe makeup or something.
Yeah. Some special effects makeup.
It's a lengthy. It's to do it your own job. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's a weird way to do things at your own.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a weird extent, I guess.
Definitely.
For
it's a long way to go.
Some weird YouTube notoriety.
Yeah.
Like,
no, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the hotel staff that interacted with the men in black say that they had white skin, not eyelashes or eyebrows, and it had normally large eyes. That's another thing they added in.
I wasn't visible from the video, but
no, okay. Like the video is pixelated.
Yeah.
Like it's 3 pixels in there. But it's shitty 2008 security footage, so what do you need? I don't have anything else for you. So the hotel employee who had talked to the men says that she felt like she could feel the men reading her mind as well.
Oh, what does that feel like?
Dude, I don't know. Violating in the worst way.
It's just like you just feel an invasion of privacy. Yeah, just feel like there are no, it's just like a knowing. We've talked about that.
We've talked about this. Yeah.
You just know.
Like you're just on the same.
They're in there somehow.
Like the frequency is on the same channel or something.
And that is because we are like natural beings.
Mm-hmm.
And probably fantastic. There's something about us that is just completely whimsical and special, I'll say.
I think creatures in general.
That's true.
Like the connections we have with our pets. We've never spoken to our pets.
I know, that's a good point.
But like we feel very close to them.
Yeah.
Like we just get in the same frequencies.
Yeah, that's true.
There's something to be said there,
I think. That's true.
Some chakras or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
It's universal, maybe.
Yeah.
Gaia.
Yeah. She's up there. But yeah, so that's kind of the end of that story, okay. I would say. And I think probably the end of the most significant stories of the Men in Black.
Mm.
There are a fuck ton more.
Yeah.
There are so many out there. I tried to, just like I said, get the broad strokes.
Nicely done.
Thank you. So
I mean, that's really the extent of it.
Yeah.
That someone caught, you see some funky, some dudes two white dudes. It's not often one person. It's no. some dudes.
Sometimes two or three.
Showing up.
Pacey as fuck.
Yes. Creeping you out.
No eyebrows, no eyelashes. Nothing happens,
and then they leave.
But like a lipstick.
The lipstick is down there. That's very creepy. Just,
okay. There's, yeah. If you get the Uncanny Valley vibe, it's probably a Men in Black. We have a general description now of Men in Black. I'm going to just reiterate what we have talked about. Recap. Let's rehash this. So from the descriptions we have gotten over the years... / decades, let's be real, the Men in Black always present as males in their 40s and are often described as expressionless or almost cosplaying as humans, but they just don't get it quite right.
You're like, this is what a
company
man would look like.
This is what a salesman would look like, right?
This is a reliable military guy.
But there's always something just off there. So they're always dressed in black suits, and they say that they are with the government, but never specify which government or organization. So they just say, we're with the government. What government are you with? They never say.
Hmm.
So they also sometimes have been said to show a white blank card that just says security on it.
Oh, is that... what?
Get the hell out of here.
Get your key fob.
Take your fucking card and go home. So the Men in Black are said to investigate, interview, threaten two types of people. People who have claimed to have seen a UFO and people who are researching UFOs and maybe have gotten a little close to finding out something that they shouldn't have known.
Hmm.
So it's like you got too close to the truth. Men in Black are coming for you.
Okay, well, what about all the public disclosures?
I know. I know. So whenever
they're gonna retire the Men in Black,
what do you say?
They're gonna retire them. They're laid off.
Yeah,
Elon was like, no.
Yeah, this is not working for Doge.
No time for you.
Mm-mm.
No time, no money for you.
So whenever the Men in Black speak to one another, they only refer to each other as a number.
What?
Uh huh. So in the movie, that's it's true. Just like a letter.
Mm-hmm.
But in real life, it's a number.
Okay.
Which is interesting.
I don't think I do that.
Yeah, I mean, that's just what the research said. So, who are the Men in Black?
Who are they?
Let's get to some theories. Listen, I'm only getting a couple theories because this...
How many could there be?
There's so fucking many, Meg.
I can only think of two.
There are so many theories.
Really?
Yeah, dude.
This is not that interesting. Let's keep going.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's just not. It's just not.
The theory part of it?
No, just like that there could be so many different theories. Yeah. Like, it's
this is the thing with the conspiracy theory is there's so many branches of a fucking tree now, especially with this one.
Okay, well, I'm interested. Tell me what the people are saying.
So, one of the most widely accepted theories is that the Men in Black are government agents tasked with silencing UFO witnesses, suppressing information, and covering up extraterrestrial encounters.
And they just want to put a weird, freaky spin on it? Maybe. Just to make it weird?
Maybe to make it more memorable and freak you out more.
Or to make you sound crazy?
Or make you sound crazy.
Sure.
So, like, so there's some gaslighting there. Also, maybe be like, these people are like not human, so like... You can't maybe reason with them as humans.
To freak with you.
And freak you out. You a little bit. Yeah.
Okay.
So Men in Black are often linked to agencies like the CIA, NSA, or Air Force Intelligence. Some believe that they are part of Project Blue Book, the official U.S. government study of UFOs from the 1950s and 1960s. Witnesses report being warned to stay silent about UFO sightings and are often silenced or intimidated or, like, just completely told that their story is a hoax or, like, the misinformation about their story is deemed as a hoax.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like the Harold Dahl situation.
Yeah.
Where, like, afterwards his, like, whole story was, like, deemed a hoax. Whether or not that's true or not, I don't know. So, declassified documents show the U.S. government did investigate UFO sightings and surveilled UFO researchers themselves. I think that was in Project Blue Book. However, a lot of Men in Black encounters describe a bizarre or non-human behavior, which doesn't fit with the profile of
traditional intelligence agents, like we just talked about. Like, maybe they're doing that on purpose to, like, really freak people out. Who the fuck knows? Because, like, maybe they're just dealing with a different, like, scope person. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, another major theory is that the Men in Black are not human at all, but extraterrestrial beings disguised as humans who are possibly working to suppress knowledge of UFOs and the existence of extraterrestrial life itself.
I feel like that's the running theory, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's, like, kind of lines up with the that creepy...
something alternative. They're cosplaying people. They're a little different. Yeah. Okay.
So, witnesses describe their unnatural appearance, pale skin, robotic speech, strange mannerisms, abnormally large eyes, or featureless eyes in general, as, like, a... like, adding to the theory that they're, like, not human.
I think my understanding is that, like, most people feel like they are not from this world, but they're basically, like, contracted, or, like, they're there's given some...
So, like, the John Keel theory?
Yeah, so they work with the U.S. government.
Okay.
So they're, like, an entity within, but they're also not. Then you have to believe that there are aliens and that the government is... We know they exist and we partner with them.
Yeah.
Which is, I guess, another level of...
Yeah, crazy. Totally. Yeah. It is the... I mean, it's all crazy. Yeah, let's be real. So, vehicles associated with Men in Black are often described as appearing and disappearing mysteriously. So, they're often described as, like, black Cadillacs, but they just kind of, like, appear and disappear.
Mm.
So...
How much stylish...
I know. I think of the Men in Black movie.
Yeah.
Who's going to touch the red button.
Yeah.
Until, like, at the end, push the red button.
Yes.
He's, like, on top of the fucking tunnel driving
Amazing.
Through. So great. Yeah, so there's... They are government agents. There are extraterrestrials either working with the government or working as a separate entity...
External
entity. They're like, they're not working with the government, but there's like making sure that everything's staying under wraps
For and their own, like, reasons.
Cosplaying as people to like protect whatever they're trying to protect.
Okay.
There is the ultra-terrestrial thing, which was John Keel's theory that
the good doctor.
The good doctor. So, ultra-terrestrials, they're entities that have always existed, but they're, like, on another dimension, and, like, they can bounce back and forth between, like, timelines and dimensions and realms, whatever you want to call it, and are just trying to, like, keep everything under wraps. But not really necessarily doing a good job as playing a person. So, along with these theories, there are also so many more... And like I said, there's so many fucking theories.
I don't know how many more there could be. That's so dumb.
So, the Men in Black are androids.
What the hell is an android? Like a robot?
Like a robot. Or holograms.
Oh, okay.
So, like, they're, like, sent...
Okay.
As some other...
But I feel like that still is part of
the government.
Ultra-terrestrial to me, that feels...
See... There's like ultra-terrestrial theory with that, or there's also the government theory. That the government are staring androids and holograms after people because they don't want to, like...
Holograms that can knock on your door?
Listen.
I told you. Possible.
Cookie cap on. Okay?
Christ.
So there's some theories that they are...
Sorry. Listen, I don't know that much about... And, like, tech, but I wouldn't think that a hologram could just materialize out of fucking nowhere.
I don't know.
It needs
if it's a government light. Hologram.
What like, is it? Just like
a projector?
Doesn't it need? Okay, so
if there's a drone that has a projector,
they have Tupac,
maybe
Tupac like rapping on stage. It was a light show.
Yeah, yeah. Or at Coachella a couple years ago, right?
Yeah, and then like China does or Taiwan, whoever does like the crazy maybe.
That was China
or Singapore. Somebody has a fantastic.
Instead of the fireworks show, they do that. Drones.
Yes, those are drones. That takes a piece of technology, a piece of equipment. They don't just fucking appear out of nowhere.
But like there's some theories that like the holograms are part of the government, or
the government is slow.
I know.
That's why Doge exists.
It's
try to figure out where they're inadequate, and they are inadequate.
Everything's inadequate.
I'm not saying I'm for Doge. I'm just saying, like, that there is something to that. No.
They're Doge not, is
like,
looking the wrong way.
Listen, it's not the solution.
No, it's not even remotely the solution. But, okay. So, there's the theory with the government doing the holograms, or there's the theory with extraterrestrials, ultra-terrestrials doing the hologram stuff.
I can believe that they are doing it.
So, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's so many branches of so many theories.
Yeah, okay.
Because there, like, one, I say one thing, there's at least two theories with it. Anyways, I'm gonna keep going.
It's too much time. People have too much time on their hands.
Really. Also, some theorists that the Men in Black are time travelers. Either human or not human time travelers.
Because they do always dress a little bit fuddy-duddy.
Just all black suit?
Yeah, it's like an ill-fitting suit. It doesn't look like a...
Sometimes they're referred to
as... You would see Pedro Pascal wearing that suit.
Sometimes they're called, like, well-tailored suits, though.
None of those photos or videos looked like a well-tailored suit to me.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying some people have said that, like, they looked well-tailored.
Okay.
Listen, I'm not... don't shoot me. I'm just the messenger of this story. Also, some people say that, like, these Men in Black are some sort of AI technology, either in human or alien origin, in physical form, which... Like, listen, I said,
if to me it only makes sense if they're not of this earth.
Yeah,
and then I could buy a lot of it. I could believe a lot of it.
How many rabbit holes do we want to go down with this? That's the thing, and I can't do it.
No.
Yeah, I'm like, it's gonna get too fucking
government.
Kooky.
I'm just saying the government isn't orchestrating this.
Yeah,
it's just not.
No, but either way,
our U.S. government.
Right. Yeah. Like, we're not smart enough for that. So either way. All of these are meant to suppress or silence the spread of information about UFOs, UAPs, extraterrestrial life in general, period. So, just a ballpark, a broad stroke of theories, because truly, you could just keep fucking going. You can make your own, and people probably follow it, just saying, with Men in Black. So, people who are more skeptical believe that the Men in Black phenomenon might be a psychological or cultural phenomenon or a conspiracy theory rather than real beings who are working within a shadow government. So,
shadow government.
Always an opposite side of the coin. I feel like I said, I always feel like there's a gray area. And I feel like I'm always in the gray area. Like, maybe some people have seen some shit, someone approached them, maybe they were a government entity. In one instance, maybe it was something else. Another instance, being like, hey, shut the fuck up. What type of situation. I don't know. I don't like the black and white. I like the gray.
Okay.
When it comes to these things. Because I don't want to discredit people who maybe have like a real experience.
Sure.
Same with a ghost.
Yeah.
I don't know how you feel about it.
I don't know how I feel about it either.
It's all over the goddamn fucking map. That's the hard part.
I don't know. They go hand in hand with UFO sightings. It is always there.
And I feel like it's very confirmed, I think, for people in 2025 that UFO sightings and UFOs in general are a real thing.
There's something there.
I think it's hard to discredit, same thing with like ghost stories, like it's hard to discredit every fucking story and be like every person is lying. I don't know.
Sure.
It just, there's, like I said, it's a gray area.
I do generally believe where there's smoke, there's fire. Somebody saw something weird. Someone did, for sure.
Yeah. So, for decades, the Men in Black have remained one of the most chilling and elusive mysteries in UFO lore. Are they government agents working to keep extraterrestrial encounters under wraps? Or are they something not quite human, slipping between the cracks of reality to manipulate what we see and what we remember? Or are they nothing more than the product of fear, paranoia, and the power of suggestion? Whatever the truth may be, one thing is certain. The stories haven't stopped. People continue to report encounters, strange visitors, and warnings to forget what they saw.
So, if you ever find yourself staring up at the sky, witnessing something you can't explain, and a man in a black suit comes knocking your door, you might want to ask yourself, how much really do you want to know?
So chilling.
Men in Black! And that is the Men in Black.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You know,
the bright side, they do never lay a hand on you.
No, so there's never been like a
creepy
physical...
spooky as they might be. It's all going to be fine.
The uncanniness is creepy. Mm-hmm. The face, the lips.
They're not going to hurt you.
Yeah, they're not going to hurt you. Hopefully.
I don't think so. Unless we've never heard the stories. They never lived to tell the tale.
Yeah, there's some arguments about the B-52 plane crash and maybe the Men in Black did that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, let's not get down that rabbit hole.
Nicely done. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. That was a crazy... crazy fucking story. It's a crazy fucking lore.
You gotta talk about it.
I find it interesting. I'm not gonna pretend I don't.
Nice.
But
where'd you coming around?
Only if you would about ghosts, but yeah, whatever. I don't know.
Fantastic. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, thank you so much. We'll be back next week with some more weird shit.
Thanks for listening.
And until next time.
Stay grimly curious.
Thank you so much for listening. Music by Alex Kingston and Adam McKinnon.
For podcast photos and updates, follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Grimly Podcast.
Be sure to rate and review, and we will see you next week for another episode. Bye, bitch.
'Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at chumbacasino.com.